Well, it is a lot of fun to be back with you underneath the sounding board. Good Shepherd has been a home to the Fuller family for a very long time. They ran us out of San Marcos 22 years ago, and Good Shepherd was such a wonderful place for rebuilding my life in ministry, and I have always been grateful for it, and it's wonderful to be back this year with you, especially to see what marvelous things are happening among the people of the Church of the Good Shepherd. Repeatedly, from every experience we've had across the country and across this district, we see a sign of strength here that is often too rare in other places. Signs of vitality and life and growth and energy and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So much so that Father Milton very kindly offered to let me sort of backstop he and Philip for the coming year, and I'm deeply privileged to do that. So to today's business, we are in the Epiphany season. This is the third Sunday of the Epiphany season. Epiphany means showing forth, manifestation. You get it in so many different ways. It's kind of a curriculum for understanding Christ's mission and ministry and ours. You start with the story of the three magi and the coming to manifest the infant Jesus to foreigners. Then you go into the story of the baptism, and then now into the calling of the disciples. And for the rest of the season, we'll be talking about Jesus' ministry of healing and teaching, and seeing the different ways that he is made to finally appear before the world as the hope of the world. We do that so that we can show him forth, so that we can learn ourselves to participate in his mission. But this is a kind of a key moment as we listen to this calling of the first disciples. I have to confess, I have often wondered what Zebedee had to say to himself about Jesus when the boys up and left. But for a long, long time, we have used this third Sunday after the Epiphany to remember not just the disciples and their call to discipleship and ultimately to apostles, to be apostles, but to remember that we too are called to be fishers of men, as the old translations had it, to be fishers of people. So to get that out of the way, I want you to pick up your bulletin and let me see that you have it in your hand. Everybody. Now pull a pen out of your purse or pocket and look at the front page. And underneath where it says Church of the Good Shepherd, Changing Lives, Sharing Christ, and above where it says January 2018, I want you to write the words fishing license. And then if you already know who you ought to be fishing for, I want you to write in the name of the person you are going to personally invite to come and worship with you in this place in the year 2018. Because every one of us are indeed called to be more than audience, to be more than learners, but to be practitioners of a faith that overflows into other people's lives. Now, it's okay if you don't know, if you're a little ambivalent about who you should ask. But by midnight tonight, I want you to promise that you will write down a name in that place. And then you will go home and you will cut the top of the bulletin cover off and you will fold it up and you will put it in your purse or your wallet where you keep your money so that you see it every time you go be a good consumer. And you are reminded not just that you have a license, but you have a commission from Jesus Christ Himself and the Church of the Good Shepherd to tell folks about what wonderful things God has in store for them, and specifically what wonderful things He has for us and them here in the Church of the Good Shepherd. Because that is the thing that drives the life of the church. Now, get this straight. This is not something you have to do gritting your teeth. It is the natural flow and evolution of people who have become excited about what God has done in their lives, about what God is doing in their lives. Just like the horrible commercials for dish soap. If you find something that really excites you, you cannot keep your mouth shut about it. Is that me or somebody else? By the way, if you have a dial tone or a ringer tone on your phone, it's okay to leave it on if the tune is Holy, Holy, Holy. Otherwise, turn off your phone. Okay, so, have you done that? Can I see? Everybody hold up what you got. It says fishing license 2018, and you're either going to put a name on there now or you're going to put a name on there by midnight tonight. The season starts at midnight. Actually, you can get started before that. Okay, we've done that. It is not necessary for us to hyperventilate about making ourselves go out and invite people to church, because it flows out of what we have received. And that is what I want to talk about today. Because the interesting thing about this passage to me right now in my life is not the stuff about getting the guys to goof off and not be fishermen anymore. He calls them to follow Him. He calls them to learn from Him. He calls them to be His disciples. But before He does that, in that first paragraph, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And the truth is, more ink has been spilled about what exactly that term, the kingdom of God, means than pretty much anything else around. People have grappled with that, and still they struggle to understand what it means. It sounds like a political term. It certainly sounded that way in the first century. Those boys knew what kingdoms and empires were like. And they weren't terribly different from the way kingdoms and empires are now. They were built on blood and tears. They were built on coercion. They were built on making people do stuff they didn't want to do. But when Jesus takes that term, kingdom of God, He flips the very notion of kingship and kingdoms on their heads. He turns around a notion of coercion and power exercised as exploitation, and he offers people a whole new vision where leadership is service, where the first shall be last, where those who give of themselves the most are the most blessed, and the abundant life is the life of sacrifice, taking up your cross and following him. It is incredibly ironic that through church history we have far too often reverted back to the ways of Augustus or King Saul. But Jesus repeatedly and always calls us to a new vision of what it is to be human, what it is to be a human community, and what it is to be a soul touched by the living God. The kingdom of God is a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But it is more than a personal relationship, just as it is more than a social relationship. And the thing that really torched me this week, that really set my mind on fire, I was preparing for our Sunday school lesson for the adult inquirers. We were talking about the Eucharist. And so I was looking at the words of institution in the Gospels. And in all three of the Gospels, approximately the same words follow Jesus saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." He says, "This is my blood," this is Mark 14. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And frankly, every interpreter I found who tried to explain what that meant missed it by a mile. And they knew they missed it. It's not just obscure, it is eerie. It is weird. Because remember, this is the night before he is betrayed and arrested and tried and executed, judicially murdered by all the powers of the religion and the state. And that is antecedent to his resurrection on Easter morning and his transformation of the lives of everyone who knew him. And what it says, I think, is that in his cross and resurrection, the realization of what he says is coming near in the first chapter of Mark becomes not merely manifest, but real in his death and resurrection. He has become the kingdom of God, and the emergency services are letting you know that. The Jerusalem phone reserve went off big on Easter morning. It is crucial for us to understand what that means, because what it means is we no longer have to live our lives in fear that if we make one small misstep, that God is going to smite us down. Now, the folks who usually sit on the first six rows here are clearly worried about that and thinking, you know, Frank is going to say something that God doesn't like. But all the rest of you out there, the realization that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, which is the whole point of every one of the gospel stories, means that the rules of reality no longer work like we thought it worked. A pagan lives his life until he dies. A Christian knows that in baptism he has died and he lives forever. That's why we have Christmas begin on the 25th of December and not end until the Epiphany. And I bet you all still put your Christmas trees away before the 6th of January. Christians die until they live, because they have been set free from death. They have been set free from fear. We know that Jesus Christ risen from the dead means that we too are able to die to all the things we're afraid of in the world. We are set free. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit, and it enables us to stop worrying about where we get our next meal. The world tells you, eat, 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 or be eaten. And Jesus Christ says, this is my body, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. The reason this whole fishing thing works is not because you get, you know, afraid that Frank is going to call you up and say, who did you visit? Means that we are so filled with the sense of God's presence, God's kingdom, God's life among us, that we naturally, that we overflowingly want to share it. You gotta tell somebody about what a good deal it is. Milton has very wisely chosen this theme of the kingdom of God as our theme for the year. And we need to savor how rich and full that is, because it is part of the richness and fullness of our life together. Again, Good Shepherd shows signs of life and liveliness and strength that is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, a sense of the power of God at work among us, of the ability to touch lives and transform them. And when we are wounded, when we are hurt, when we are sad, when we are grieving, we are enabled to be touched by those around us with the touch of life that is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to share it. Don't be afraid that somehow somebody might be scared if you start talking about what God is doing in your life. Because that is the way people are called to their own freedom and their own life and their own mission. And Good Shepherd does that very, very well. And we must continue to do it with hope and vigor and excitement, because Christ is alive among us. His kingdom is present with us. He eats and drinks with us in the kingdom of God every week, because He is the kingdom of God. And we have been called into Him. We have been set free from looking back over our shoulder wondering what's going to eat us next. We have been fed and we have been nurtured. We have been empowered to be His people, to be citizens of His kingdom, to say no to a world that thinks that politics and fear are the most important thing. It does not matter what the president says or the Congress argues about or what some crazy little short guy in East Asia does tomorrow. We are in the hands of the living God. He will not let us go. But He will send us forth. He will give us His power. to change lives and to bring more people to know His love and grace and mercy and hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.